So my name is Erin Welsh, and my presentation is on healthy communication between parents and working teens and its influence on work-related injury. My co-authors are Teresa McGee, who is here presenting a couple posters in the back there, and Dr. Christina Zierold, who is not here. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So in the United States, the majority of teens work at some point before leaving high school. These teens are twice as likely as adults to experience an injury at work severe enough to land them in the ER or require workman's comp claims. This high rate of injury is likely due to their lack of skill and inexperience, as well as many other complex factors involving dynamics in the workplace. In addition, work-related injury is the fourth leading cause of death among teens. 70 teens die on average every year in the U.S. as a result of injuries sustained at work. The top causes of these work-related fatalities include auto accidents and robberies or violent acts at the workplace. Causes of work-related non-fatal injuries include contact with objects and equipment, falls, and body exertion or reaction. Obviously, parents have very important influence on teens' behavior. In general, studies have shown that parents are in favor of their teens holding a job. Studies have also shown that adolescents who perceive low parental monitoring display more risk-taking behaviors than those who perceive high parental monitoring. So the focus of our study overall is to determine different factors that are associated with work-related injury in teenagers. One of the important factors, of course, is parental monitoring or parental communication. The overall objective of our study was to see whether a higher level of parental communication was associated with a lower frequency of injury among working teens. We also had two specific aims. We wanted to describe how much daily contact and communication occurs between working teens and non-working teens. And then we also wanted to evaluate the extent to which these working teens discuss their work with their parents and assess differences based on demographic characteristics such as age, gender, and race. So our study involved both qualitative and quantitative parts. In the spring of 2010, we went to two high schools in Jefferson County, Kentucky, and initiated interviews and focus groups involving 42 teens aged 15 to 19. And then using their responses, we developed a survey, which we administered in spring of this year to these same two schools. Overall, 884 students completed the surveys, and 45% of those students worked. As I mentioned, these two schools that we conducted the interviews, focus groups, and the surveys are located in Jefferson County, Kentucky, where Louisville, Kentucky is. So the two schools were very different, which is why we picked them. One was an inner city school with a majority of African American students. The other is a blue collar school with a majority of white students. Both of these schools have extremely diverse student populations, and both are magnet schools, which means that they have a variety of job training opportunities for the students. So we had several measures that we used to assess parental communication among working and non-working teens. We asked both working and non-working teens, on average, how many times a week do you eat dinner with your parents or guardians? We had responses that included never, one night, 2 to 3 nights, 4 to 5 nights, and 6 to 7 nights. We also asked working teens, how often do you talk to your parents or guardians about what you do at work? Responses included never, rarely, every once in a while, sometimes, or almost always. To the injured teens, we asked, did you tell your parents that you got injured? That was yes or no. So the basic makeup of our student population is shown in the charts. 61% of the population was female. 55% were African American, followed by 27% white, 5% Hispanic, and 13% marked other. The age of the population was fairly young, with 29% aged 15 and under, 35% age 16, 26% age 17, and 10% were 18 or older. As shown nationally, our study was representative in that most teens worked in the restaurant industry, followed by the retail or service industry. Home services was another common field, such as babysitting or lawn care. Manufacturing and construction, manual labor, farming, and medicine or veterinary were other fields that were more rare. So, as I mentioned, the first aim of our study was to describe the differences in parental communication between working and non-working teens. So we used the question, how many days a week do you eat dinner with your parents, to measure the differences between these two groups. Overall, in non-working teens, we found that white non-working teens ate dinner more frequently than other non-working teens, and there were no gender or age differences that we saw. So, between non-working and working teens, there appears to be no significant difference in how often these teens ate dinner with their parents. We did find an influence of parental communication on an expectation to graduate. We found that students who expected to graduate had higher parental communication compared to those who did not expect to graduate. This was marginally significant. In addition, 6% of workers did not expect to graduate compared to 2% of non-workers, which are both still very low numbers, but it is interesting the difference between the two groups, and that was significant. So in summary, between working and non-working teens, we found no significant difference between the two groups. However, we did find an association with parental communication and an expectation to graduate. So our second aim was to look at the differences between working teens and age, gender, and race and parental communication. Overall, we found that there were age differences in parental communication. Interestingly, older teens were more likely to almost always talk to their parents about what they do at work. However, the proportion of teens that never or rarely talk to their parents about what they do at work stayed fairly consistent among the age groups. Females were found to have higher parental communication than males, and that was a significant difference between the groups. They were much more likely to almost always talk to their parents about what they do at work. In our sample, Hispanic and white students had the highest overall parental communication. So, to assess the differences between parental communication and work-related injury, we use the measures, how many times a week do you eat dinner with your parents? And we also ask the question, how often do you tell your parents about what you do at work? And we found a marginally significant difference in how often these injured teens and uninjured workers ate dinner with their parents. We found that uninjured workers were more likely to eat dinner with their parents more frequently than injured teens. However, there was no difference between how frequently these injured and uninjured teens talked to their parents about what they did at work. So, of those teens that were injured, only 64% told their parents about their injury. Furthermore, we asked the question, do your parents make you work? 30% of injured workers responded yes, while only 20% of uninjured workers responded no. Or responded yes, I'm sorry. So, in summary, parental communication was not associated with injury among working teens. And we assessed that using how frequently teens talk to their parents about work and how many nights a week that these teens eat dinner with their parents. We also looked at risk-taking behaviors. When we asked the question of these students, would you do something dangerous if asked by your supervisor? If the student responded yes, we classified that as risk-taking. So we found that parental communication was not associated with doing something dangerous if asked by a supervisor. So here are just some quotes from focus groups and interviews that illustrate the complex nature of parental communication and its role on work-related injury and behaviors at work in working teens. So we found there was a 15-year-old female in one of our focus groups who said, "My mom doesn't want me working there, but I like what I do and I feel comfortable working there." And that illustrates the fact that there is a high parental communication, but it may not influence behavior. And we had two teens who showed that they talked to their parents and that their parents may have some influence on them. For instance, my mom may suggest to me that I shouldn't be working where they asked me to do something dangerous. On the other end of the spectrum, we had a male 17-year-old who said, "If I told my family that I do dangerous tasks at work, they would have a few choice words and say, 'Get back to work.'" So to summarize all of the results, we found that parental communication did not differ significantly between working and non-working teens. However, there was a slight influence on expectation to graduate. There were age, gender, and racial differences in parental communication in both non-working and working teens, and parental communication was not found to be associated with injury, nor was it associated with risk-taking. This suggests that power dynamics or social dynamics in the workplace may influence a teen's behavior more than their parents. The fact remains, however, that parents are an important influence on a teen's behaviors at work and at school. Some future avenues of research that would yield interesting and important results include how parental involvement may affect injury risk, or how different that parents communicate with their teens, how that may influence injury or academic behaviors. In addition, it would be interesting to look at what aspects of work that teens discuss with their parents, and importantly, whether having friends at work or other social aspects of work influence the risk of injury for working teens. One avenue of research that could have an important benefit for working teens is to determine effective ways to reach parents and inform them directly of their importance in reducing these teens' risk behaviors at work or outside of work. So just a few acknowledgments and references.